Hello and welcome to Queering Eve, a spoiler-free-ish podcast about the TV show Killing Eve made by some queers. Hi, I'm Nina and I'm the one that's doing a PhD in neuroscience, which feels silly as an intro here, but I'm saying it because in a recent episode, Nea made a joke about how someone should study brain science or something like that. Someone should study brains and we were laughing and it, I think, doesn't make sense without context.
Yeah, I left that in because I assume only our friends listen to this podcast anyway.
I think like 10 other people do as well, though.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm the one who gave in to the peer pressure and is now doing a puzzle like all of my gay friends.
Nice.
I am the last one standing.
Hi, I'm Nea, and I'm the one who is one of these gays that love puzzles. I rediscovered them this year during quarantine when I was looking for hobbies that you can do on your own because Nina hates everything I enjoy.
No, I guess that is true.
Hobby-wise, at least.
Yeah, hobby-wise, definitely.
And turns out I really enjoy puzzles in a way that really lets me turn off my brain, or like the part of my brain that is anxious about everything. So that's nice. But what I actually wanted to do as my fact today is that I am the one who loves paint by numbers, which is just another solitary hobby I discovered this quarantine.
So we're done with season two and we are doing a recap episode to talk about the whole season before we move on to season three. I thought we'd start off by trying to understand the plot or if we have anything more to say on this topic.
Yeah, we had plans to summarize the plot in the last season's recap episode, but then we tried and it went so badly that we just gave up and edited it all out.
Indeed. So we truly do not understand the plot of season one.
Nope.
But I think with this one we have more of a handle on it.
Yes.
Yeah, though definitely. I will start with a question. So I guess the whole plot of this season starts with that piece of paper that has Eve's name on it that Nadia wrote in the prison before she died. And the paper says Alistair Peel. And that's the reason they look into Alistair Peel and everything happens.
Right, I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Me too. I read it in a recap post. But what the recap post didn't say is why? What? Why did Nadia have this information and why did she want to give it to Eve?
I suppose the information was that the 12 wants to buy data from Alistair Peel.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, because how it was made to look at that point was, look into Alistair Peel. He did not die a natural death. He was murdered.
Yeah, by his son.
But it wasn't the 12 that was constructing that murder. Like, I do think this is not us not understanding, but, like, the writers just being like, ooh, this could be a cool thing to set up a new season and then not following through.
I mean, that is possible, though we are also very forgetful.
Yeah. Yes.
So it might have been explained.
I really don't think so.
So basically what happens is that Carolyn dug out Alistair Peel's body and called Eve to check it and figure out who killed him. And that's how the ghost thing starts. And where does this lead us? Into Aaron Peel trying to sell off all of this data. But why did he kill his father?
To inherit the company, I think.
So this wasn't explained, but my wild theory right now is that the 12 maybe already had an agreement with Alistair Peel about something, and then Aaron killed him, and they were upset. I don't know. This is such a bad theory.
Yeah, but I always assumed that Nadia's message was supposed to be like a way to help Eve with the Villanelle situation.
Yes, yes, that and this would makes have made sense.
No sense in this sense.
That's yeah, true.
Well, fine. Okay.
Well, listeners, another thing that we've done it again.
Truly, we are not the podcast to listen to if you care about plot.
But does anyone care about plot in killing Eve?
Yeah, exactly. Know. Also, maybe this is the podcast because we don't pretend that anything makes sense when it doesn't. I guess that Aaron was selling this weapon. I mean, the gossip, the 12 were interested in buying. And maybe Alistair Peel was against selling this, and that's why Aaron killed him. And yeah, the 12 was aware of it. And basically, Nadia was just trying to give Eve some information about the 12 that she somehow magically had.
She was like, I'm gonna die either way. I might as well be a bit helpful. I get that. I also want to make an impact on the world before I die.
Cool. I hope it will be less confusing.
Thank you.
So, then we have the ghost plot.
Oh, God. Yes.
Which actually goes on for more than a half of the season, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the ghost is barely a character. We talk about her, but she never talks on the show, almost.
Very little when she's questioned. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's presented as some important piece of the puzzle, but also as an important character that we will get to know, and maybe they will have something with Villanelle. And in the end, she's just a clue for the Alistair Peel, Aaron Peel thingy, which is dumb because they set it up so intensely and then it just doesn't really deliver. And then we just forget that she even exists.
Yes, I agree. It's a shame. I would have liked Ghost. I would have liked more content with Ghost. So yeah, we have this whole ghost thing where, yeah, I think this part plot-wise is relatively straightforward. I mean, I don't know what the 12 exactly, how they are connected, but who cares? And then the ghost leads us to Aaron Peel, and then we have the little Aaron Peel arc, which again seems relatively straightforward to me, except with no idea what the 12 are doing, how the 12 are connected to MI6 or whatever. And I mean, the things that we already tried to figure out and I am still not clear on. Like, I think the very main plot is very clear, especially compared to the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, incredibly straightforward and clear, and I even like it. And then when you get to any more detailed level, it gets a little wonky. But that's still much easier for my brain to make sense of, if at least the main thing makes sense. Like, when I think of the first season, like, the whole thing, I'm like, whoa, what a mess, no idea what happens. And with this one, I know exactly what happens, even though we always got very frustrated with the details.
Yeah, that's same. True. Yeah, I don't have a problem figuring out things that are complicated, but only if they are actually presented to me in a way that you can figure it out. You know, if there's stuff missing from the plot, then that you have to fill out yourself, not like get from context or anything, but literally you would have to like make it up, then that's just bad, bad writing.
Yeah, there's like, this is, sometimes you have media with very complicated plot or like very detailed, very nuanced, and it's still like very difficult to figure it all out, and you can like draw 10 diagrams and stuff, but...
Are you talking about the L word?
No, the L word makes no sense.
The L word is in the same category.
I am talking about Hera the Ninth. But it, in the end, it makes sense and it gets you answers. And I have this problem that I mean, is it a problem? I'm not sure. I mean, I just assume this about any piece of media, that if I give enough attention to these plot details, they will give me something back. And sometimes the more work you put in, the more frustrated you get. And I just have to learn to accept this, and this show has been helping me.
Okay. So it's been good to you.
No.
Yeah, I don't think this is one of those shows that are complex. I think it's just one of those shows that the plot is not something that is given much thought, and therefore it doesn't make sense. So it's just there so that you have a background to what you're actually here for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Do you think that it's possible? So the plot at the beginning is Carolyn gets the hint about Alistair Peel, digs him up, gets Eve to help with that, and then makes this Project Manderley, supposedly, I guess, to figure out who killed Alistair Peel and to find the ghost. But was her end game always, I mean, did she know about the weapon that Aaron Peel was selling at that point?
I want to say no, not from the beginning, because, I mean, we do see where this whole Alistair Peel thing comes from. It's from that note. So I feel like at first it was just trying to figure that out, like what's going on there. But then the more they found out about him, the more then it made more sense to get rid of that guy.
Okay, so she was just lucky.
Yes, I agree.
So I guess once again we have come to know plot conclusions, and we just have to, I don't know, resign to the fact that this is just not our forte.
Or this show's forte. Let's talk about things that we do like and do enjoy.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about some favorites of this season. What is everyone's favorite episode? Do you have one?
I went through a list of episodes to try to figure it out, because my memory doesn't work in a way that I would automatically remember one, unless it was extremely special. And I picked the third one, which is the one where Villanelle cosplays as Trelawney and goes to Nico's school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say that this season doesn't have such a clear favorite like last season, but I also picked the third one.
Oh!
I thought it was great how, like, in this episode, I think Villanelle kind of starts being Villanelle again, like, beforehand, like, she was trying to...
Survive,
yeah, basically. And then I think in this episode, her and Constantine, like, get together, and it's the whole scene of her and Eve being close for the first time, and the lipstick scene. So, yeah, for me, it's the third episode as well. Tamara?
I'm gonna go with episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
That was my second favorite, yes.
Yeah, which is where Eve and Villanelle start working together. So all the scenes in the flat, and also that's where Villanelle goes meet Nico in Oxford. Mm-hmm. And also the scene with the ghost where Villanelle is in her widow clothes. So those are all very much highlights of this season. So that's my favorite.
Yeah, nice.
Does anyone have a least favorite?
I feel like there was one that I didn't care about.
It was the one that we kept complaining how badly it's written because Jeffrey did it.
No, I think that's no, I 7.
Think... Yeah, I think I like that one, actually. I don't know.
It's fine.
Okay, how about favorite characters?
Ooh.
For me, it was very easy, again, doing this last season. But in this one, I don't feel like anyone stood out as much, except for Villanelle. And I'm picking Villanelle. I thought she was the most entertaining character of the season. Yeah, she's my favorite this time around. Miss you, Elena.
I also didn't have a very clear, obvious favorite. I think all the characters we know from before were still solid and good. But I actually loved all the minor characters we get in this season. I feel like they were mostly, or a lot of them, so well designed, like really fleshed out. And it made me feel like we hung out with them for much longer than just a few episodes or even just one episode. Yeah, I don't have one answer. So I'm gonna say the character that I wish the most that we got more of is Amber.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense, but I'm still sad that we don't get to say goodbye to her in any meaningful way. We don't get to find out what happens to her after Aaron Peel is killed by her friend, you know? Then I was actually thinking of picking Carolyn, but it's mostly because I think maybe she was the most entertaining in this season for me. She had the best one-liners,
yeah,
and
definitely.
Anytime she was on the screen, I was having fun, but it wasn't a very deep characterization or anything like that. But yeah, I think just in general, I'm gonna go with Gemma because I really like Gemma. I feel very protective of her because of all the implied misogyny this show and its expectations of the viewers.
Yeah.
And I really think she deserved better. And
justice for Gemma.
And yeah, I enjoyed her. She was very cute also.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed a lot of the characters. I really liked Gemma. I really liked Hugo, even though he's an asshole, but
me too.
I just really
yeah.
enjoyed him as a character. And also he does become like more likable the more the show progresses. And I really love Jess, even though I wish we did see more of Jess. I assume we didn't because the actress maybe gave birth or something. I don't know, but but actually I'm gonna say that my favorite character this season was Billy. Does that count?
Okay. Nice.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
I just really enjoy a character that doesn't care about what people think about her, but not in the way that Villanelle does, but in a, I don't know, in a Billy way. And just her lines were pretty funny, like the one when she got caught sneaking around and
yeah.
just always admitting to what she's doing. I just really enjoyed her and her varied wardrobe and yeah.
Nice. How about your least favorite character of this season? I think Julian, Raymond, and Aaron are all very strong contestants in yeah. my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Raymond is the one that pushes my buttons the most.
Okay, for me, it's Aaron that does that. He's just everything that I hate.
Wow, for me, it's Julian.
Wow, oh, yeah. each picked one.
Because he just makes me so uncomfortable. Like, Raymond and Aaron are annoying, sure, but I can deal with that. But Julian is terrifying.
I think maybe I didn't pick Julian because he dies, so it's fine. Like, don't have to worry about him anymore.
Aaron dies too.
I know, but like more recently, I don't know. I think, okay. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I'll they just... all die.
Oh, God.
All right.
No, but
Nina,
I agree.
Do not leave
no, no,
in
no.
any of this.
Julian feels the most dead, I agree.
we still haven't really digested the last episode, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if I was picking the scariest one, it would be also Julian for me.
Okay. How about a favorite murder, since we're talking about how they're all dead?
I must say, all in all, they're all pretty high level, like high quality murders. I think there isn't anyone that I thought that I found boring or anything. I thought they were all imaginative and cool. I think
it sounds like you're giving a reward to Villanelle or something.
Well, I mean, we are literally picking our favorite murders. I am gonna say my least favorite one was the pig head bacon guy. Mm-hmm, maybe that one just didn't work for me. It made me uncomfortable in a non-fun way.
How about a favorite one, though?
Yeah, I think it's a hard choice to make. But my favorite was Gabrielle in the first episode. I think it was just the one that shocked me the most. And it's different from the rest.
It is.
And it's interesting because it was like the character getting murdered is actually a character we know and like. So saying all this makes me realize that most of these things are true for Gemma, and I would have maybe picked Gemma, but that one's too much. That one to me is like crossing the line of this is something fun that I enjoy into something that's actually traumatizing.
Okay, I feel that way about both of those murders.
Fair enough. So what's your favorite, Nina?
My favorite is the elevator tie one. That's my favorite murder of the whole show, I think I said, and I think that still
I knew
stands.
You would answer that.
I really like it. I think it's a great way to die. God, someone is gonna murder me that way.
Never wear a tie.
I refuse. Yeah, I just think it's so good. It's really great visually and perfect for the situation. I don't know, it's just great. Love it.
What I really like about it is the implied gore. Like, we don't get to see any, but you can imagine it if you want.
And I don't.
And the least favorite?
I guess also the Amsterdam one. I didn't care for it. I just don't like the Villanelle look.
But you're not traumatized enough by Gemma's murder to pick that one.
No. I think it does add something to the show.
I agree. I feel like it's good writing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, in some ways, I enjoy it, even though, like, I am upset about it. It's kind of like a Bill situation. Like, I think the Bill murder was amazingly done, but I think it's horrifying and all murder is horrifying. You should not kill, etc., etc.
Tamara, how about you?
My favorite is the Marie one.
Mm.
And I didn't expect to pick this one before we started talking, but because obviously it's not actually anything fancy. Villanelle just pushes her under a truck. But I love it so much because she does it for Eve. Because Eve is watching this, and I just love the intensity of it and love the looks that they give each other and Eve's reaction, and just really, really enjoyed watching it.
Oh yeah, I think it's very hot.
Yeah.
While we're here, let me just do a very quick corrections corner. I found the info unconfirmed that what Villanelle mouths at Eve just before she murders Marie is ready. And I watched the scene again and it looks like that might be indeed what she's saying. So I know we didn't actually claim to know what she says, but
we sure had some suggestions.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. That's good to know. Well, my least favorite is the elevator one because of the implied gore. Because I really, really can't handle gore. And implied is even worse. And this isn't a critique of the show at all. I'm not saying it's like objectively bad. It's just for me, it's very bad. Very bad for me.
Okay.
Wow, implied gore is worse.
Yes, because then my brain makes up the worst stuff, you know?
Oh, wow. I'm just like happy that I don't have to see it. And it's like...
Good for you.
So yeah, the conclusion, murder is bad.
Murder is bad. Do not murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is the...
official Queering Eve stance on murder.
Yes. Thank you. Do we want to talk about our favorite location of the season?
Yeah, let's.
There weren't many. It was just like Paris and Rome.
Amsterdam
and some random English villages. Was there anything else?
The London street where gays the word is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously it's Rome for me. I mean, we did talk about it in the last episode of how like the whole scene with the ruins is one of the best scenic moments of the show. And yeah, for that, I am going with Rome.
Yeah, I feel like Rome is by far the strongest location in this season. Like a big part of the whole season at the end is... completely defined by being set in Rome. And the ruins are gorgeous, I agree. But still, I decided to pick the Forest of Dean.
I don't know if we kept this in the episode, but I think you described it as a sexy forest.
Yes, it's just a very sexy forest. And it's my favorite aesthetically. I just really love how it's shot and that they managed to shoot a forest in a way to make it look so gloomy and pretty. And yep, I wanna go on a very scary walk in that forest.
My favorite location was Amsterdam, because loved the scene in Rijksmuseum.
Yes.
And also Amsterdam is my kind of a city, you know? I mean, I've never been, but like the center town, I assume, is, you know, very, very Scandinavian. I know this isn't Scandinavia, but very, very small, and the houses are small, the roads are small. It's very chill and you just walk or cycle everywhere, and it's just really fun.
And it's very pretty, and I think the show like shows it in a very
pretty
way.
The show really showcases it well.
Oh, I mean I agree, but I feel like there could have been so much more of Amsterdam. I feel like okay, when I think of some specific scenes, I'm like, right, yes. But generally, I'm like, I forget who even were in Amsterdam. Like, there were barely any shots of the city.
But there were also barely any shots of Rome. I mean,
yeah,
in Rome,
kinda.
You also get nothing. Like, it could have been shot anywhere, except
for
the ruins.
I wouldn't have picked Rome if it weren't for the ruins. If it weren't for the ruins, I would have picked Amsterdam for that opening shot on when Villanelle is on the bridge.
Yeah, that shot is great. The museum is shot so well.
Yes.
And yeah. I really love the scene. Spoilers. I really love the scene with the pink outfit where she's sitting next to one of the canals and writing the postcards. Just really enjoyed all of that.
Why is this a spoiler?
Because that's my favorite outfit.
Okay, wow. So So now that we know your favorite outfit, do we want to talk about
Oots!
Oots! Outfit of the season?
Ooh. Okay, let me talk about the pink outfit. It's just so striking. And I really love how it's shown, how they set her down next to the canal. And
yeah.
And I love the fabric because the skirt is very, you know, it just doesn't just fall. You can like move it around a bit and shape it in a way that you want. And I do think it's cute that she's wearing all stars with it. And
if you saw her on the street, would you go up to her and be like, hey, can I take a photo of you for my Instagram?
Never, but I would look at her a lot. I would definitely be like, whoa, and then like turn my head very, very obviously.
Okay, thank you for that visual.
In a gay way.
In a gay way.
She would appreciate that much more than someone asking her about Instagram.
I sure hope so.
Surprising no one, my favorite is the plaid on plaid. It's just the one where I want to scream about how much I want it. And that's the reason I'm picking it. Otherwise, there were so many good ones in this season that I loved looking at. But this plaid on plaid one had the added advantage of me really wanting to wear it, which is not true for most of the others because it's not really my gender / style.
For me, there were a lot of outfits that I would wear that Villanelle wore in this season, but I'm also picking the plaid on plaid because that's the best one. I keep picking the same things as you did, Nea, but yeah. It's just the best one. I also really love how the ones that we picked for our Oots were pink on pink and plaid on plaid. but yeah, just that outfit. It's incredible. Can't stop thinking about it.
In that case, let me give a special mention to another outfit that I didn't mention before because I wasn't sure if Nina might pick it. It's the sparkly pants and the blazer with the little horses, and I don't know what the shirt was like.
That was my first pick, but then I remember the plaid on plaid, and that just...
I understand, but yeah, just want to remember that one fondly.
It's so good.
Yeah, that one was...
I think that one, when I saw that outfit, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good season.
That one is something I would wear for like a fancy event.
Yes.
I also have a special mention for the widow outfit.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
of course. Yeah,
it's a very good one. Yes,
a great outfit in a great location.
yeah,
looking back on all these great outfits that we saw, it makes me even kind of forget that at the beginning of the season we had a few episodes where the Uti was kind of sad.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think in general, like all in all, this season still was kinder to Uti than the last season was. Yeah. It was...
In the last season, I feel like half of the episodes didn't have much to choose from.
Yeah.
And here was just like the first two or so.
Yeah. It was an incredible season for fashion.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I watched the show, not the plot.
Absolutely.
Do we have any other things that we want to talk about that we really enjoyed about this season? I want to mention something that we did talk about a lot throughout our episodes, which is the parallels that they kept on doing between Eve and Villanelle. I thought that was really good.
That was really good.
I also just really enjoyed Villanelle's humor in this season. I thought she was so funny. I mean, she was funny before as well, but I don't know, it just was a highlight for me.
Yeah.
How about least favorite things, like other things that you didn't like about this season?
Other than the plot? Honestly, yeah. I mean, the writing was kind of not great at times, but other than that.
I missed Kenny. I feel like we deserve to get more Kenny.
I agree.
Yes, Nina, you are correct. We should talk about this. There wasn't enough Kenny. I was actually kind of shocked how little we see of him.
Same.
And
same. Yeah, me too. I misremembered this.
Why?
Yeah, truly, why?
What's the point? Did the writers hate him or what?
He was just too good for this show. Like, too good of a person, I mean. Because everyone else just sucks.
Except Jess.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
but
like,
we also don't see that much of Jess, so.
That is true.
Yeah, maybe having a character that's actually a good person would make this show too weird.
It would be like, you would have to keep being reminded that, like,
murder is bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did miss a little bit a wider variety in the locations. I know that this is, like, expensive and we got spoiled for season one. But if in the ideal world, I wish there was another, maybe two fun locations that we went to.
I agree.
I guess one of my least favorite things in the season is the fucking terrible marriage that Eve and Nico have, and the fact that they still have not divorced each other.
But at least in this season, they separate.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't bother me in the way that I thought it shouldn't be there, or that it's bad writing or whatever. It just, like, really made me depressed many times watching their terrible not communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that one time when we realized that Villanelle and Eve communicate more, that was rough.
Yep.
But, like, connected to that, one of the things that I didn't enjoy about this season was the mistreatment of Gemma.
Yeah.
From the show, I mean.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yes, yes. I agree with you on that one.
Just the way it felt like we were supposed to hate her didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's my least favorite part. You found it.
Okay, you're welcome. But yeah, in general, I did not enjoy this season as much as I did the first one. But I still enjoyed it quite a lot.
Oh, for me, I think it's the other way around. I have rewatched both of them a few times, but until now I always just binged watched the two of them together. So I never really separated in my head what was the first and what was the second season. So I was surprised watching the first season now, how many episodes there were that were just kind of boring and I didn't care. And there were definitely, for me, less of those, that being zero, in this season. So yeah, I preferred this season to the first one.
Yeah, you have a point. I feel like the first season has higher highs and lower lows.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who likes extremes, I preferred that.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, the first season does have worse episodes than this one. It's true.
I definitely also, now that you mention it, I did also enjoy season two more, even though there are more things that I complained about. But it is, all in all, it was more enjoyable than the first one for me.
Mm. For me, I guess I felt like the first season was so much more intense, and I really enjoyed that.
Hmm.
Can we do a short corrections? It's not really corrections. It's just me being annoyed at myself and my English in episode 7. Because I said, like, 3 things wrong. I don't remember what it was, but, like wrong phrases or something. And I just want everyone listening to know that I know they're wrong. I just talk faster than I think.
Okay.
Okay, yes, you. Everyone listening, remember, Tamara knows.
I got an 8 in English in the high school diploma, so.
That's out of 8.
That's out of 8,
anyone.
Yeah.
I too am smarter than it may seem on the show.
I'm not. I am just as dumb as you think I am.
Okay, now that we've got that covered, do we want to
rate? Do we want to rate this season?
Yes.
Yes.
I guess it's time.
We've already kind of talked about how we feel about it, but yeah. How would we
rate it?
Yeah, that's what we're doing here. How would we convey these feelings in the form of queer media?
Thanks for explaining the podcast, the segment two seasons in.
Finally, you know what we're doing here.
I'm rating it Wynonna Earp, the series. It's because I love both of them. They are both flawed in many ways, but not enough for me to not enjoy them. Also, apparently they will both have 4 seasons, so.
All right.
Like, there are some cops that you gotta love, ACAB. There are the plot holes. There are the people that you love dying way too soon. There is the gay. Yeah, just many, many things.
Okay, thank you. My rating is also a TV show, and it's Dead to Me.
What is that?
It's a TV show. I choose that because it's just another show that I really enjoy, and it has great acting, and I, what did I write here? Something that I really enjoyed, but it's not my favorite thing. Also, something that felt specific to this season. In that show, there is a whole dynamic of, like, buddy comedy thriller duo thing, and I feel like that feels very right for this season, like, the relationship between Villanelle and Eve for a part of the season when they're, like, working together, and it's funny, and while also being about murder. So yeah, that's why I chose that.
I have a rating that I'm not super happy with. I know what I want to say with it. I just couldn't find a queer media that really fits that. But what I'm thinking of is this is a season where, like I already mentioned, all the new and even minor characters are really fleshed out and they are, like, really people. And they also kind of feel some tropes, but in a fun way and in a very much not one-dimensional way. And then another thing that this season makes me think about is how all the worst characters of the season are men that are at least partly the worst because of their toxic masculinity. So you just have one toxic man replaced with another, replaced with another.
Just like in life.
Yeah.
I wish in life they more like stack.
Yeah.
not really for me. That's not really my personal experience, but because I don't talk to men.
But yeah.
Like in life they don't die. That's what I wanted to say.
It sucks how men just don't die.
It sucks only how women you can just, like, murder the guy that you hate. So what I'm rating this season is another TV show, and it's Legacies. Because, I don't know, Legacies also has very good characters.
I love that you picked that, because it continues our journey of first in the first season talking about the Vampire Diaries and and then in the beginning of the second season talking about the originals and now finishing it off with Another Vampire Diaries spin-off show, Legacies.
Yeah. And also Legacies is at least partly in the format of Monster of the Week, which is kind of a parallel of this Toxic Man of the Week we have going on in season 2 of Killing Eve. But I do just really want to say Legacies is also so much more. It's just, I don't know, it's about friendship and family and helping each other. And
it's just so good.
But yeah, let's go on to the game.
Yes, are we ready to play a game?
Very much so.
Yes.
So while we've been recording this season, some news has come out about there being another season of Killing Eve in the works, which will come out next year, as well as...
And it will be the final season.
It will be the final season, yeah. And apart from that, they are also planning some spin-off shows, which I find hilarious because I don't know how that makes sense for this show, but okay. So I thought for a game, we could try to think of a spin-off show that you would make.
My answer isn't super inventive, but I just would really love to watch a sitcom about Carolyn's life. Just, you know, about all the different lovers that she has had and her family relationships. And then Eve and Villanelle would be featured in this show as the two characters who take themselves so seriously that it's funny. And they make a dramatic situation out of every single little thing. And Carolyn is just rolling her eyes at them and they're like, yeah, we're not in a relationship. And it's like, oh my god, just stop.
Carolyn looks into the camera and is like, come on now.
Yes.
Nice. I can see that happening. This isn't fully formed in my head yet, but I would like a show about Elena, of course. And I want it to be a show about her, like, figuring out her queerness, because from what we know, she is not aware of it, but the way she was obsessed with Carolyn indicates that there is some non-heterosexuality in her. So I feel like it would be nice to have a show of her, you know, living her life in London, getting to... I don't know. I just want to watch Elena.
I would absolutely watch that too. I now have two ideas. Can I say both?
Mm-hmm. You are allowed.
So first, I was gonna say that I want to watch, and I do want to watch this, I want to watch, just like Naya, a sitcom, but about Constantine and his family.
Mm-hmm.
And extra points if this is somehow set in Russia and not in the UK. I think that would be super fun. Obviously, I know that's completely out there because the guy doesn't even speak Russian. But like, imagine, like if we live.
He can learn.
Yeah. But then I thought, actually, what I want to watch is Bill's Wild Years in Berlin.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I personally would love to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
It's kind of like the movie Yes Man, because he said that he said yes to everything, but a show, and also he fucks men.
Yeah.
How about a show about Jess and Hugo, and it's a musical?
Yes! Yes.
Just living their life, being agents, being not appreciated for their work.
Love it.
And I will take any musical, so love yes. Yeah, cool. I hope some of these happen.
All of them.
But yeah, that's it then for this season.
Wow.
Are we ready for season 3?
I mean, No, we will wait a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, I think we're coming back next month.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to this season of Queering Eve. We will record another one. Have a nice month, and remember to replace that toxic man in your life.
I found that Googling did not help me, because in general, I mean.
In life, Googling doesn't help you.
Fuck you.
Maybe you should try Bing.